this week's edition of World Crisis Radio. This is your host, Webster Tarpley, from Washington, D.C., the dominant ruling organizing image of this week's broadcast. The front page of the New York Post, Metro Edition, Tuesday, August 18th, 2009. Mark that date well. Tuesday, August 18th, 2009, the New York Post headlines, "Sellout!" with exclamation point, with a picture of the tortured, treacherous face of Obama. "Liberals howl as BAM caves on health plan." And we read, "It's enough to make a liberal sick. Diehard supporters of President Obama were feeling betrayed yesterday over signs from the White House that it was set to pull the plug on a key aspect of the health reform plan, a government-run insurance program. You can't do health reform without it," says Howard Dean. Now, of course, the point here is Obama, the puppet of Wall Street, not a socialist, in no way socialist, an enemy of the working class, an enemy of workers, an agent of finance capital, the opposite of a socialist, rather, an exponent of the Mussolini fascist corporate state, down into the smallest details. And I'm speaking now with my hat as a professional historian emphatically on. This is the fascist corporate state. This is the opposite of socialism. This is the counter-revolution fielded by the European finance oligarchy against socialism, if you will, even though sometimes the personnel can be interchangeable and the labels also shift around. What we've got now, and we'll go into the healthcare details in a later segment, is the opening at long last of the second front against Obama. Up until now, Obama has had a cakewalk because his only enemies were the reactionary ogres, Hannity, Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Newt Gingrich, the rest of them, right? The Republican Party from the far left to the far right, every last one of them. All against Obama. Well, that's fine. It's good to have an opposition. And even people who are of very questionable political valuation themselves can do good. Otherwise, the world would have ceased to exist long ago. You can have some rather nasty people doing good. And to the extent that they oppose Obama, they become interesting to that extent. But, of course, it's one thing to stop Obama and then be left in the hands of reactionary Republicans who will devour you and feast on your flesh, stripping you of Medicare, stripping you of Medicaid, stripping you of all the economic rights that the labor movement and popular movements have fought for over decades and decades and centuries. Your problem is get rid of Obama and fight the depression. You've got to get rid of that world economic depression. And what these right-wingers tell you, of course, is baloney. There is no Austrian business cycle that will lift you out of it. You get out of it when you make the necessary New Deal reforms and restart production. That word that we hear so seldom, production, the only way there's any wealth, the only source of the means of human existence is production. It doesn't grow on trees, and it doesn't appear magically through Keebler elves coming in the night or Pillsbury doughboys. You got to produce it. So the problem with the right-wing opposition, of course, is that they're capable of getting rid of Obama and then sinking you into an even hotter hell with medical savings accounts. And you're on your own. The market reforms championed this week by Dick Armey. This is the despicable Dick Armey, right-hand man of Newt the Toot Gingrich from the reactionary Republican House group of fanatics in the 1990s who brought the government to the brink of collapse. They almost had a default of the United States government. These right-wing anarchists would have done it there for the first time. That's where they come from, so no good from them. It is therefore imperative that a left opposition emerge, a left anti-war, anti-Wall Street, anti-financier, pro-labor, anti-war, anti-imperialist, pro-peace opposition. It should be producerist. It should be protectionist. It should be dirigist, in my terminology. In other words, Hamiltonian, left Hamiltonian. and it better come soon. So we're seeing the beginnings of it. Now, the details on this are essentially summed up in a document which I finished writing on August 11th, and you got to go to actindependent.org and get your copies. Actually, two things there, right? One is the call for a left anti-war opposition. I'm the first one to admit that these terms of left and right are intrinsically misleading, but I'm trying to make a point so people can understand it, given the rather low level of political understanding projected through the media. It's hard to describe these things any other way. So put a label on it that somebody can understand, and then explain why the label is itself essentially unsatisfactory and even misleading. A left anti-war opposition is indispensable, because this is the way that you can weaken Obama, you can exact concessions from Obama, it can be done, and ultimately you can get rid of him. When you're strong enough, you want to deprive him of his second term, you want to deprive him of his congressional majority, you want to checkmate him in every way, of course. But you want to do this on the basis of propagandizing and organizing for a program that will actually get you out of the depression, not put you deeper into the servitude and slavery of President Mitt Romney, the hedge fund hyena, Wall Street jackal, and asset stripper, who would love to strip you of Medicare, love to strip you of Medicaid and Social Security and the minimum wage and food stamps and the entire social safety net. He wants to loot all that and transfer the results to Wall Street and to the New England-based insurance companies. Don't forget them. They loom rather large now, right? The United Healthcares and Connecticut Generals of the world. So that is the paper that you've got to look at, the call for a left anti-war opposition. Get it at actindependent.org. There's also an intervention leaflet there, which is designed for people going to these town hall meetings. To get this entire debate back to reality, you've got to have something in there about hospitals, and you've got to have something about doctors, and you've also got to have some idea how to pay for it. So the program here is simply three things. Medicare for all. Medicare for anybody who wants it. You want it, you get it for a very modest fee. No death boards. Obama has death boards. He has more than one. He's got death panels coming out of his ears. The entire mentality of the Obama administration is essentially Governor Richard Lamb of Colorado and the Hemlock Society rolled into one. That's what's going on in Obama's brain. I mean, you can see it from what he says. You can see it from the presence of Ezekiel Emanuel, John P. Holdren, and the rest of this crew of euthanasia supporters, euthanasia devotees, and indeed genocidalists. There's no way around it. That's what they're talking about. There are people in there who want to give legal rights to animals. That would be Peter Singer, the advisor of Zeke Emanuel. And then, of course, Holdren, even more radical, wants to give legal rights to trees, but not to you. You have no economic rights, but trees and animals get rights. This is the classic oligarchical philosophy that we see going back to the Greeks, right? We can trace this back at least 2,500 to 3,000 years. Where there is an oligarchy triumphant and ruling and then in trouble, this is what you begin to see. Now, the other element to this, we're going to go through health care in some detail, but the other big thing is Cindy Sheehan going to Martha's Vineyard. This is huge. This now means that for the first time, we've got a left anti-war front opening up against Obama, and Cindy Sheehan has made some excellent statements, and I'm going to read you parts of those statements later in the broadcast. It's time to support Cindy Sheehan, and if you're in the New England or New York area or anywhere nearby, go to Martha's Vineyard. You go and organize against Obama. Back in a minute.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Let's sum up the current situation. We're recording our program earlier this week, 2 days early, because of the summer vacation schedule at Genesis Communications Network. So let's now focus. What has changed? The watershed is the mid-August point of 2009, and the result is that Obama is now collapsing much faster than Carter, his predecessor as trilateral puppet, banker's boy in the White House. And this is basically two things. Over the weekend of the 15th and the 16th, we had these statements by Sibelius, the exterminating angel, the cold and detached lady who runs the Health and Human Services, that the public plan is not essential. We don't need it. And over the same weekend, in one of his town halls in the western states, Obama himself says the public plan is not the be-all and end-all, not the totality of health care reform, but just a tiny sliver. This means then the knife has been stabbed into the back of the Democratic base. These are people who didn't want a public plan. They wanted single payer. They wanted Medicare for all. That's the correct demand, Medicare for all. They're a little bit uncertain how to pay for it. It's interesting. The Democratic Party could have been campaigning, as has been said now, for the past 15 years. They could have been demanding Medicare for all. That's a much better slogan than single payer. Single payer, who knows what that means? Medicare for all, it's very concrete. It's very tangible. It has a track record. You can evaluate it. Medicare has cut the death rate among people over 65 by one-fifth. That is a huge savings of human life and years lived by Americans and other persons in our jurisdiction. But we didn't get that from the Democratic Party, needless to say. So it's no surprise that on the weekend of the 15th to the 16th, Obama and Sibelius signal that the public plan is being deep-sixed. Now, this was always the plan. You can read this in the call for the left opposition. It's clear. We have the scenario coming from Henry Aaron of the Brookings Institution 10 days before all this, 10 days to 2 weeks, actually, where he says, you know, the scenario is simply this. Make a lot of noise about the public plan and then give it up. Of course, this is what Obama's doing, is even preventive surrender. Now, people will point out that Obama and his gang had been signaling for months, certainly going back to we have a tabulation here in the Washington Post, but I guess one of the key moments I think is in June when Obama goes to Moscow. Rombozo Emmanuel, the knife wielding, dead fish sending White House chief of staff, Rombozo had made a statement saying that the public plan is expendable. And Obama had wobbled, and then from Moscow had said, no, we really want the public plan. So the signals, the trial balloons, the ballon d'essai from this were coming forward the whole time. It's just that the Obama maniacs, the Kool-Aid drinkers, the lemming legions, could not hear. I think this is one of the main results of this past weekend, is that the lemming legions and Kool-Aid fanatics can now begin to hear somewhat. They still have impaired hearing. They don't understand half of or three-quarters of what's going on. But now the element of doubt has crept in. The lemming leader Olbermann has come on the air saying, for the first time, it looks to me like Obama has no idea where he is or what he's doing. And we'll go through some editorial comments about these things in the same way. So the betrayal, the massive, cynical, calculated betrayal of the Democratic base on the weekend of the 15th and the 16th is highly indicative. And then on Monday the 17th, this is the old 1-2. The first one was the health care betrayal, and the second one now is warmongering, as in Afghanistan escalation, endless war, torture, the war criminal McChrystal, Obama's hand-picked candidate to be the commander in Afghanistan, a torturing war criminal left over from the hot phase of Iraq. So Obama now goes to the meeting of the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Phoenix and gives a speech worthy of Bush, worthy of Cheney. Obama channels Bush and Cheney. in Phoenix, where you look at this speech, he's got 9/11 in there. He's got new 9/11. He says if we don't clean out the Taliban in Afghanistan, we face a new 9/11. There will be a new 9/11. Unbelievable. 9/11 people, please take note. This is now a change. This is actually a shift. I'm the first one to register it when it happens. Obama had stayed away from that stuff quite studiously. And indeed, the implications here may be deeper than just the demagogy and verbiage coming out of Obama's mouth. We may now be seeing, as this administration crumbles, we may now see a kind of reversion to the Pavlovian reflexes built up under Bush Cheney. And, of course, that's a big problem because that's a an invitation to false flag. We have to keep our eye on that. Maybe we have time for that later, too. But be warned, right? Increase the vigilance. Monitor the drills, above all, because that's how it's done, as I showed exhaustively and conclusively in 9/11 synthetic terror made in USA. So Bush essentially channels Bush, Obama channels Bush and Cheney in Phoenix for the veterans of foreign wars, even as the gun-toting characters cavort outside. I think a lot of these people are sent, right? They're essentially sent in as media provocateurs, right? They give MSNBC grist for the mill. They can say, look, did you see that guy with a machine gun and a pistol? And he's 200 yards from our president, and on and on and on. I think this kind of theatrics quite clear. In other words, a circus is staged, right, with all kinds of things being brought in, right, a three-ring circus where you've got the left-wing agitators, the right-wing agitators, and then the gun agitators, and they're all parading there outside of Obama's speech. So that, I think, was a wake-up call to a lot of people in the peace movement. But now you put these two things together: the massive, systematic, cynical betrayal of the healthcare front, and now the increasingly blatant, arrogant, warmongering, bloodthirsty, reactionary policy on Afghanistan and indeed related areas. Don't forget Georgia. Don't forget Ukraine. Don't forget Poland. My God, the Polish missile crisis looks closer than ever in the light of this kind of rhetoric from Obama. You can say this is a reaction to try to shore up the collapsing right flank. But, of course, in shoring up the collapsing right flank, Obama is now exposing the flank that is much more dangerous for him in the short to medium run, in particular, the left flank, the peace movement flank. And that is where I think people have got to become active. So let's now look. We'll look in the next segment, and we're going to go through some of these very, very interesting statements from Cindy Sheehan and the guidance that these give to the renascent, we hope, peace movement.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Now let's focus on the turning point represented by Cindy Sheehan going to Martha's Vineyard. People will remember it was 4 years ago this August that Bush was in his retreat there at Crawford, Texas, on his fake ranch, because this was just a ranch he rented to make himself look country and western when he was on one of his many vacations. He'd spend 5 minutes clearing brush and then go back inside and get out the Jack Daniels or whatever he did. So that was when Cindy Sheehan went to Crawford, Texas, and set herself up really with minimal resources near the Mad Dog Bush Ranch at that point. Now, she has announced that she's going to Martha's Vineyard, and the point of all this is to support it. So let me just give you her email, her website, CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Just put those words in, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. You'll find a PayPal, and if you put in Cindy Sheehan Soapbox Blogspot, you'll get some very interesting statements. Let's go to those statements now. Her first release, dated August 16th, this past Sunday, Cindy Sheehan will join other like-minded peace activists to be present at the near the expensive resort on Martha's Vineyard, where Obama will be vacationing from August 23rd to 30th. Now, that means when you hear this broadcast, Cindy Sheehan is most likely already there or on her way. And she points in her initial release, she says, first of all, no good social or economic change will come out of the continuation or escalation of the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. We've got three wars now. We've got the Pakistan one that was started by Obama and the Afghan one that has been taken over by Obama. And we've got Iraq, which Obama and his minions have refused to end. And, of course, this goes back to Pelosi's refusal to block the funding by passing no bill. Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. We simply can't afford, says Cindy Sheehan, to continue this tragically expensive foreign policy. Secondly, talking to leftists, we, as a peace movement, need to continue calling for an immediate end to occupations of these countries, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and others, right? Israeli occupations, I think she means, too. Even when there is a Democrat in the Oval Office, there is no noble cause, no matter how we examine the policies. Thirdly, the body bags are not taking a vacation, and as the U.S.-led violence surges in Afghanistan and Pakistan, so do the needless deaths on every side. Now, that's for people who say Obama is entitled to a vacation of peace. Yeah, right. While he betrays you and while he gives orders to send the Predator drones to shoot up innocent Pakistani villages. Finally, says Cindy, if the right wing can force the government to drop any kind of public option or government-supported health care, then we need to exert the same kind of pressure to force a speedy end to the occupation. So she will be arriving in Martha's Vineyard on Tuesday, August 25th. The media attention has already begun. Now, let me also go through this other one. Her direct response from Cindy Sheehan to Obama's speech in Phoenix, I think, is an important step forward for the peace movement as a whole. This indicates a level of maturity of analysis, which is very encouraging. So she says, as I listened to clips of Obama's speech to the VFW on August 17th, the Monday speech in Phoenix, I was wondering if his speechwriters were on vacation and if they just recycled an old Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld-Rice speech. While the so-called left is focused on the healthcare debacle and is allowing right-wingers to define the debate, it should be Medicare for all and all for Medicare. Obama and his neocon foreign policy team are preparing for a decades-long bloody foray in AFPAC, and that, of course, is the word from the Washington Post. 10 years of war is what's being planned. She quotes an editorial writer, Abu Hakla, from the Kansas City Star. President Barack Obama did his best imitation of former President George Bush Monday at the VFW National Convention in Phoenix. Obama sounded downright hawkish, and yes, presidential, when he addressed the issue of terrorism in front of the veteran-laden crowd. Dick Cheney could not have said it better. So, says Cindy Sheehan, this is one of the reasons I am leading protests next week, that means this week by the time you hear it, on Martha's Vineyard, where Obama will be vacationing. The anti-war movement cannot allow itself to be co-opted by the Democratic Party any longer. We cannot allow the war party and other elites to define the terms of the war debate. Obama actually had this to say in his speech in front of the veterans of foreign wars, and here's what he says. Peace movement people, 9/11 people, anybody of goodwill, please take note. Here's Obama. We must never forget, this is not a war of choice. This is a war of necessity. Those who attacked America on 9/11 are plotting to do so again. Oh, my God, Bush Cheney. If left unchecked, the Taliban insurgency will mean an even larger safe haven from which Al-Qaeda would plot to kill more Americans. So this is not only a war worth fighting, says Obama. This is fundamental to the defense of our people. Cindy Sheehan's comments. Obama also made a lot of other crazy Bushian statements, but this one has to take the cake and lead the charge for peace. Right on, Cindy. That is absolutely correct. One thing, writes Cindy, that we must never forget is that the Taliban and Afghanistan never attacked the U.S. on 9/11. And in response, the U.S. is killing members of a wedding party. 26 members of a wedding party in Afghanistan were bombed and killed the day before she wrote this release. Even if Obama did plan the if Osama did plan the attacks from somewhere inside Afghanistan, which is not likely, she says, this war of choice is not about defending America. Remember, profit is not a consequence of war. Profit is the reason for war. How can we allow, as a nation, how can we allow the war party to sacrifice innocent babies for the illusion of safety? Afghanistan, Obama, is just as much a war of choice as Iraq is. And Obama, in choosing it, is exploiting the lies. So what is fundamental, writes Cindy Sheehan, to the defense of our people is the same foreign policy, not more war crimes brought to the world by the war criminals in D.C. This is now Obama, Gates, Jones, and the rest. What is fundamental to our health and prosperity is to bring the troops home from Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, reduce the Pentagon budget so we can have basic human rights such as health care, housing, and education. Besides Afghans and Pakistanis getting killed and displaced on the Bushian, at a Bushian clip, these days the troops are being killed and wounded so the war profiteers can squeeze more bucks out of the violence. More of our families will be harmed while most of the anti-war movement stands down for Obama. Now an important point from Cindy. Cindy Sheehan writes, I don't care if you love Obama or hate him or something in between. Haran, he has the lowest approval ratings of any president after 7 months in office, comma. We must loathe his wars and his crazy hate speech directed at our brothers and sisters in the war-torn regions. Obama's crazy hate speech, that's good political analysis coming from Cindy Sheehan. Please join us on Martha's Vineyard from August 26th through August 30th. To demonstrate to the world that there are still some people here in America who want peace, no matter who inhabits the Oval Office. Now, that is a hard-hitting and courageous statement from Cindy Sheehan. So, again, if you care about the future of your country, you got to support this. Go to Cindy Sheehan, S-H-A-E-E-H-A-N, Soapbox. There's a PayPal, make a contribution, CindySheehanSoapbox.com. And indeed, if you want to get these statements and duplicate them and send them around, which I urge you to do, send them to your entire list, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox Blogspot. Add the Blogspot and you'll get her ongoing commentary, the two most recent statements at the present time are the ones that I've just gone through. We'll be back in a minute.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. So you know what to do. Go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com and CindySheehanSoapbox Blogspot, I think it is. Cindy Sheehan Soapbox Blogspot. Get these statements, these two. One dated Sunday, August 16th, and the other one dated Tuesday, August 18th. And send those to your entire list, and you'll see when you pull them down, you've got the press contacts for this very important organizing mission, the opening of the second front against Obama, the action against Obama's most vulnerable point, his left flank. Remember, Obama operates under left cover, left camouflage. If you strip away the left camouflage, strip away the idea that he's a progressive, that he's a friend of the masses, that he cares about labor and all the rest of this stuff. Denude him as an agent of Wall Street, a tool of finance capital. You've got the truth about him, because the reason it's more effective is because it's true. and it jibes with what he actually does rather than what he says. Right-wingers attack Obama's verbiage. They attack him for doing things that he doesn't do. He does not deliver concessions for unions. He destroys unions. He doesn't care about the poor. He's screwing them over. Poor people are getting stripped of their economic rights in California and other states every day, especially California. You think Obama tries to divert money from the Wall Street bailouts to the California budget? Not in a million years. He's not a friend of the masses. He's an agent of Wall Street finance capital. This is the essence. And he is a warmonger and a warmonger and a warmonger. He's also an appeaser. He's also a coward. But this is all out of design. Now, maybe we should talk about the interesting dynamic here, just in terms of this stuff about the ideological reflex chamber that we're in, right? And then we're in the hall of mirrors of ideology. Let's look at what Obama has done on this healthcare business. Now, this was a real issue in the 2008 campaign. Obama, during the primaries, Krugman and others pointed out that Obama is not really interested in health care. He did it grudgingly. He didn't want to go with this issue at all. And when he did, he had these right-wing Chicago school advisors like Austin the Ghoul Goolsbee. He's written up in Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate, where indeed you'll find a leaflet that I wrote here for the Potomac primary in early February 2008, saying Obama wants to destroy your Social Security. He wants to loot Social Security for the obvious Wall Street reasons. So Krugman pointed to the fact that Obama was much weaker on health care compared to Edwards, compared to Hillary, compared to other Democrats. Obama was the weakest of them all. And notice also Obama's method. Obama doesn't run on issues. You're not voting for issues. You're voting for the Messiah. You're voting for essentially a flimflam. You're voting for your aspirations, right? Whatever you project on that empty slate, the blank slate that is Obama. So he never made commitments on issues. He did not want to get into the details of policy. This was fuzziness. And again, in Obama the Postmodern Coup, the comparison is made to Carter and the fuzziness issue. If you're a Wall Street puppet and you run for president, you can't say what you're going to do. Because what you're going to do is the finance capital agenda and strip people of their economic rights and leave them nothing but their eyes to cry with. You're going to flay the American people alive. That's Obama's program. You can't run on that. Therefore, you've got to build up this elaborate rhetorical smokescreen. You've got to go through a whole charade and kabuki of, oh, you're a friend of the masses and you're a community organizer and so forth. Even there, what does it mean to be a community organizer? It means that you're a scab. You're a strike breaker. You are a poverty pimp. That is what community organizing is, to the extent that it's funded by these foundations. Now, how did Obama handle this? He put cap and trade first, the infamous and deleterious Waxman-Markey cap and trade bill went through the House first. So all the energy that was used up on that monstrosity was not available then later on. Obama had said always, you know, wistfully, oh, if I had it to do over, I would go for single payer. Notice he never says Medicare for all, something that people could understand. Obama's the biggest enemy of single-payer Medicare for all. He's also the biggest enemy of a government plan, whatever that is. The whole purpose of this is to get more money into the hands of insurance companies. In other words, the basis of health care reform for him is the individual mandate that you have got to buy private insurance from a for-profit, deregulated company that you can't sue and your life depends on it. So they are for-profit. They're deregulated, you can't sue them, and your life depends on it, and Obama wants to make you pay for that. That was always the essence. You could see it a mile away. Naturally, the Kool-Aid cultists were still blinded by the Kool-Aid fumes. They couldn't see it. Now, here's what Obama did, therefore. He gave up single-payer Medicare for all. Never said Medicare for all. Those words have never passed his lips. He gave up single-payer before he even started. And now, as of the midpoint in August with the Obama sliver speech and the Sebelius monstrosity there on Sunday, August 16th, it's clear that he's given up the government plan, too. Don't tell Rush Limbaugh. Those guys will continue attacking Obama as a socialist forever, even when he's convoying more and more money to arch-capitalist, arch-financier institutions in Wall Street. So Obama has now given up the single payer, given up the government plan, but what he's got is the mandate, the individual mandate, the compulsion, the obligation to buy private insurance, just like Mitt Romney, the asset stripper, did in Massachusetts. Obama equals Mitt Romney. So when it comes to the war, Obama channels Bush Cheney. When it comes to health insurance, Obama channels Mitt Romney, the right-wing financier candidate in the Republican primaries. It was even pushed aside by somebody like Huckabee, because Huckabee could sound like a populist, whereas poor Mitt Romney never could. Now, what would a normal Democrat have done? Let's just say a normal Democrat, somebody not from the Grover Cleveland, Woodrow Wilson, Harry Truman, Jimmy Carter, Obama school, right? Not those right-wing guys who work for Wall Street, but some kind of a populist Democrat. Here's what you do. This is just simple. You would start with a big mobilization for Medicare for all. You'd say, Medicare for all, Medicare for all. It works. Look at it. People are happy. Ask the old people, do they like it? Is it good? And ultimately then, if you don't have the votes and you've got these blue dogs, you've got your various reactionaries, you've got all these people running around, then ultimately the compromise would have been the government plan. But that's not what Obama did he? He didn't do what a normal Democrat would do. He's a neoliberal shading into neo-fascist, because, again, the form of what Obama wants is a state-sponsored compulsory cartel to drive down payments to doctors, hospitals, nurses, and other care providers, in other words, to lower wages in the system, to deny patients care. Yes, there are death boards. There's more than one. And to prop up the derivatives that have bankrupted all these insurance companies. That is the classic definition of the Mussolini fascist corporate state, then imitated by Mussolini's imitator to the north, right, in Germany during the 1930s, 10 years later. Now, what would a genius have done? I didn't go through this at the time because there was no way that Obama was going to do this. I rather focused on ways that other candidates could do this. But here's what a genius would have done. This is what somebody like Franklin D. Roosevelt would have done. During the debate on the bailout, you would say, as a Democrat, no to the bailout. I'm against bailing out Wall Street. This is an obscenity. This is an earmark. This is going to balloon the deficit. This is irresponsible. This is a corporate state. This is a sellout of working class and other interests. We're not giving $1 trillion to Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Citibank. That is the watershed. Once you support the bailout, I'm talking bailout, the TARP in September, October, 2008, you've thrown away everything. At that point, the insurance companies would have all been bankrupt, and that would have quite easily simplified it, because there would be no private insurance. They'd all be bankrupt, and you could simply say, well, we'll offer you a plan, and people would have been glad of it. Back in a minute.